So we're looking at spotting the signs of sexual abuse in children and young people that we're working with. I think most professionals are kind of most scared of and kind of mentally planning for verbal spontaneous disclosures. So the kind that you see on soaps and on TV where children come and they tell you about their experiences and then they expect that there's going to be some action taken. But actually, I think these are quite rare. If you think that actually only 1 in 8 of children who are experiencing sexual abuse become known to authorities at the time that it's happening, that's a really small number are actually telling people at the time. So those disclosures of children coming and telling you, they do happen, but they're not the most common thing that happens. So I think what we need to be looking for is changes in behaviour or things that you notice about children that might be different. It could be that the child is new in your class and you don't know them at all and you've got to learn about them. But there could just be things that are flagging for you of like, that behaviour is really interesting, or they are particularly sad or anxious or angry after weekends or when certain people pick them up, things like that. Just really getting to know the children and people that you work with. Some children will do what I might call like breadcrumbing, where they might kind of drop hints about things. They might kind of make comments that if you just heard one, they might sound seemingly innocuous. But if you listen to all of them together at the same time, you might think, hang on a minute, there's maybe a bit more to this story. And I think also if you've got concerns that children in your class or children that you are in contact with are being neglected or there might be physical abuse, then sexual abuse also really needs to be on your mind as well. Because what we know statistically is actually sexual abuse is just as common as other forms of abuse, but it's much less reported on child protection assessments. So even though we know from reports it's definitely happening, we're recording it less and possibly providing interventions for it less. So the thing that I would kind of encourage is for all professionals engaging with children and people to remain really curious about them, to wonder about what might be going on for them, to imagine and to notice. So it could be you start conversations of like, I'm wondering, I've noticed that things aren't necessarily okay for you today, or your behaviour's kind of changed in class. I'm wondering whether there's something that might be going on for you. I've noticed that you look like you're zoning out during the lesson. I imagine things might be quite difficult at times. You know, all of those sorts of things, all of those kind of conversation openers might not lead to a disclosure straight away, but it might just let that child know that you are somebody who is open to hearing and open to that conversation. And I think building up that trust over a period of time is what will lead to them feeling like you would be somebody that they could trust. And some children may genuinely feel that what's happening to them is really obvious to everybody. They might be walking around thinking, I feel this on me all the time. I just think that everybody can see it. So we need to pay attention, because it's not always glaringly obvious to the adults around. Sometimes because, you know, we're really, really busy and we're trying to look after the needs of lots of children and young people. I think that's probably actually the majority of the case most of the time, is that actually we're really busy and trying to meet lots of different needs and differentiate a lot for what's going on. But really taking the time to look at behaviour as a form of communication potentially. Like if they're acting out, if they're sad, if they're anxious, if they're angry, if they're disruptive, rather than going in straight away with kind of behaviour management strategies or reporting them for certain things, just really thinking about, okay, so what might be behind this? What might be going on? And it might not be sexual abuse, but it could potentially be other types of trauma. It could be, you know, that their parents are going through a divorce, or there's lots of other things that could be impacting children at home. But, you know, sexual abuse is potentially one of those things, and I think opening the door for children to disclosure is really important.
And it's creating that safe space for that child as well.
Yeah.
To speak to you about whatever's troubling them.
Yeah.
And if a child that was biologically a boy,
mm-hmm.
Came to an adult and said that they thought they were pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
How could we deal with that? Because obviously we know that child couldn't be pregnant, but what do you think that child might be trying to tell us?
I think that generally, if they think they're pregnant, that generally would indicate in some way, shape or form that something was happening to them that they connected with pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that most children learn that connects pregnancy is sex must be happening in order to be pregnant. And I think that if they think that there's a possibility that that's the case, then there's a wider conversation to be having around what's going on for this child that means that they think that they could be pregnant. And not to diminish that or sweep it away or make them feel silly for having asked the question. It's really important that that's a, hang on a minute, I wonder what must be going on for this child that makes them think that they could be pregnant. That would definitely be my suggestion for a response, definitely.
Fantastic, thank you.